Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Designed for Confidence with Di. My name is Di Riddell. I'm a confidence mentor for women 50 plus or those who will be. I'm a speaker and an author. And I mentor women who've been through life-changing challenges. Yeah, for women who've been through stuff. Designed for Confidence with Di was chosen because of my passion for seeing mature women shine. You know, we're a generation of women who've lived through massive societal changes in relationships, in family, the workforce, community, and even consciousness. And many of us have reinvented ourselves several times over, either by choice or by having it thrust upon us. And we're seeking something new. We're seeking something deeper, something beyond, and we go out and get it. In fact, we're designing and redesigning our lives with a greater sense of confidence, belief, and purpose than ever before. Just think about it for a minute. Design is, it's multifaceted, it's multi-layered, and everyone is different. So are we. And at any time, we can create, repair, or revitalize our very own design. But when we tie all those bits together, we become the very best version of ourselves, and that's what makes mature women so very interesting. I love great conversations where life's journeys are shared, not simply through words, but through the tone, through the excitement, the vivacity, and the emotions that are expressed as my guests share their passions. But we'll have more of that in a moment. If you're in America and you wish to check in, the call number is 646-716-7979, and we welcome your questions. If you're outside North America, click on the link http://tobtr.com/9773183 and follow the link. Or you can leave a message on Facebook. Our guest speaker today is a friend and colleague of mine, and her name is Julie Cross. Julie is a passionate speaker and inspirational entertainer. Putting sparkle into life is her speciality. Welcome, Julie. It's lovely to have you here today.
Hi, Di. It's great to be here with you and all of your wonderful listeners. Thanks for having me.
Goody, goody. I'm very much looking forward to speaking with you shortly. Now, before we get to speak, I'm going to share with you a question that I am frequently asked. And the question is, where do we get confidence from? And I'm going to give you four suggestions. Now, one of them is from our genes. Some people are just dead lucky. They're born with confidence. It just comes to them naturally, like they might have red hair and green eyes. It can come from your environment, from your family, from school, from the friends that you have. It can come from your mindset. Your mindset is about the choices you make and how you react to setbacks. And a question that I like to ask people is, did you remember to dress your mind when you dressed your body this morning? Good question, huh? And lastly, your actions. What daily rituals, what strategies to support you do you use? And then what actions do you take during the day? So you can sum it up as Gemma: genes, environment, mindset, and actions. Now, I share a tip, technique, or a strategy each show. So if there's something that you'd like answered about confidence on the next show, you can email me on di@diriddell.com and tune in to the next show to hear your answer, or PM me on Facebook. But It's about time to meet our guest, Julie. Before we delve into her fascinating story, I'm going to share a little about who Julie is. She's an amazing woman, a breath of fresh air. In fact, I'd call her Sparkle on speed. Julie is on a mission to teach others to stay true to themselves, what they're here to do, and who they are. And her gift is her ability to connect with an audience and make a difference in their lives. Drawing on her life experience and skills, she shares inspirational stories. Julie shows courage, confidence, and purpose, and she delivers her message with humor, passion, and depth. Julie's engaging and entertaining presentations are for everyone. And she says, every interaction is a stage, an opportunity to make a difference. She is truly the master of sparkle and inspiration, sort of spring with bling. Julie, you do have a lot to offer our listeners today, don't you?
Oh, thank you, Di. That was a lovely introduction. And I really appreciate that, so thank you.
That's amazing because, you know, sometimes I think that we forget the great person that we are. And, you know, all of those things are heartfelt and they're just the epitome of you. But let's start out. Yeah, you're a sweetheart. Julie, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself, about your story. So would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Absolutely. Thanks, Di. So, well, as Di said, I'm now a speaker and that's what I do and that's my job. And I share most of my messages now from a very big stage. But my journey certainly never started here. But I'll tell you what, back then when we were young, we just went out hard and fast. We just left school and got a job. And we did it so young back then. There was none of this, you know, sitting around, you know, I need a gap year to find myself or doing a couple of different uni degrees and waiting for your passion to drop on you. You just got out and got a job. And so my job, my first half was in the hairdressing industry. And so I spent about 25 years in that industry. And that would lead me to what I'm doing today. And that began my personal development journey of really understanding. And when I look back in reflection, I can see this now, that you take every stage you've got in life. You don't wait for the stage you're meant to be on. And the stage I'm on now is what I'm here to do. But I had to spend a lot of time in a lot of rooms, different rooms, to get to this stage. And I think that that's sometimes what we forget, is that you'll be introduced to many different stages of your life. And what you've got to do is take every stage you get, no matter how small your audience, no matter how small your stage, no matter what it is that you're doing, you give everything to that because that's your work right now. And eventually life opens up opportunities for you and you get invited onto bigger stages. And that's certainly what happened in my life. And now for the last 20 years, I've been doing what I absolutely believe I'm here to do and love to do. And I'm very grateful for that. So I don't have a finished high school. I don't have a high school certificate. I don't have a uni degree, but I have a lot of life experiences.
Ah, yes, that life experience. It's a gem, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And when we're open to seeing all those experiences as valuable and seeing that there are always moments to transform, to grow and to learn, then life really does become, you know, an education. That's what it is about. It's about embracing all of those lessons that are there for us all the time through our experiences.
Oh, absolutely. And would you like to share a little bit about your personal story?
Sure.
Because I think that so contributes to who you are.
Oh, it is. And so, you know, I was doing my speaking business as a speaker, and I guess people call us motivational speakers. I prefer to be called an inspirational speaker because I don't think we can really motivate anybody. I hope I can inspire people to motivate themselves. So I had been doing this for some 10 years and then, you know, in spreading this message of staying positive and that positive thinking movement was very big back then. And so I was spreading that same message, but I was soon to learn that it's easy to talk the talk and it's a lot harder to walk the walk in your own life. And then in fact, you've got to go a little bit deeper. And this is why we need to make sure we have a great relationship with ourselves, because there will be big things that will happen in your life that will cause you to have to go deep within. And the only person that can get you through it so often is yourself. And so I had a wonderful marriage and my husband supported me in starting my speaking business and following my passion. I had two beautiful boys. And then one day we went to bed and my life was in a beautiful place. And I was
having a lovely time. And then we went to bed, and we woke up in the morning, and my husband could not walk, he could not talk, he could not move his right arm, and the right side of his face was paralysed, and he had had a massive stroke during the night. He was just 42 years old. Yeah. So, and suddenly you're in a room that you don't want to be in. You didn't ask for this. You don't, you know, you don't want to be here. But there are some rooms in life that you will be pushed into, and the only choice you have then is how you choose to walk through it. Now, I wasn't that spiritually aware of that moment, of course, at the time. I was devastated. We were devastated. There's no, you know, my two boys are 8 and 4. What do I tell them? And so for that next 4 years, you know, I learned some valuable lessons that nobody could tell us when my husband would be better. And so if there is no date that is better, when do I get to be happy again? Well, you get to be happy again when you choose to be. When you empower up and you make a choice to focus on gratitude, you focus on other things that lift your spirit, because this is now your life. And, you know, we're all going to have a story. So my husband would... 4 years, he did a great job, and he taught us many things in that 4 years, but he did pass away. And then we go back to devastation again. But once again, nobody promised us this. Nobody promised us no grief. Nobody promised us none of this. And so we've got the ability to deal with this just because we're a part of this, because this is part of being human. But that's not an easy place to get to. That requires strength. And in amongst all of that, as you know, Di, my younger son was also diagnosed with autism. And so I had stroke in therapy, autism in therapy, stroke trying to communicate with autism, autism trying to communicate with stroke. So we were a messy family for a long time, but many great lessons out of that. And I grew through it, and we grew through it.
So what would you say sustained you through that time? That would have been such a difficult time.
Oh, Di, you know what? I think, and that's what I said about having that relationship with yourself, because we can get all the help that we want, and you should, and you absolutely should. And I had lots of support and help from friends and family, but sometimes that support comes from where you least expect it, and where you expect it to come from, it doesn't come from. So that's a whole other thing, because every time you get squeezed in life, it will squeeze every other relationship around you. And that's why it's so big when we go through a tragedy. And that's why you have to have a good relationship with yourself. That's why, because in the end, when everybody leaves and, you know, goes home, you're there with it. You're there with the child running around, headbutting windows, screaming. You know, you're with your grief. There's no one that can fix it for you. And so we get the support that we need to help us deal with it ourselves. And I truly believe that in the end, that's where it comes from. And we can do it. And to me, it's a little bit like learning to walk. When you were learning to walk, you fell over and you got back up. And eventually you got back up and you were strong at it and you kept going. But you kept getting back up and trying. At no point did you sit there. And when you're learning to walk, somebody can encourage you. They can praise you. They can put out a hand to steady you. They can comfort you when you're hurt, but they cannot walk for you. And to me, that was the same as going through all of that. I still had to be the one to get up and walk. People could comfort me. People could applaud me. People could support me, but they could not walk for me.
I so get that, because I went through that after the death of my husband. So, you know, I can relate to that, and I'm sure many listeners out there can relate to it. And maybe there's someone out there listening today who is actually going through it now. You got an extra word for someone who might be going through something similar to this today? What would you say to her?
Just keep on, and this too shall pass, you know, and it does. And we just have to keep on, and we've got to allow ourselves our sadness. So I think it's that surrender would be the word, if there was one word, you know, surrender to it and know that you've got this. So you surrender and then you trust, and you just keep getting back up, and it does get lighter. It does get lighter.
Yeah, it does indeed. But, you know, those dark times, it's very easy to lose your way.
Yeah, and I can't say I didn't lose my way, Di. There were nights I drank too much and, you know, I did. I got lost some of the way. And so sometimes you just – and there were times that I just had to surrender, and I think that ended up being a gift that rolled over into my work life, you know, because I know one of the questions you asked me in preparation for this was about where do I get my drive from? And I think what I learned through my time was to surrender more and listen to where, and it sounds a bit woohoo for some people, but listen to where life wanted to take me. And I just think that there was such peace around that, that, you know, people get frustrated where they are. But I can see now, looking back at all that, it was where I needed to be. So my work had to be put aside while I did my grieving. And when I say did my grieving, I mean I allowed myself to be sad. But then I allowed myself my joy. And I think this is the other thing people forget when they're in the midst of grief, that sometimes they laugh spontaneously and then feel guilty or catch themselves and go, I shouldn't be doing that. You know what that laughter is? That's your soul's way of trying to heal you and say, you know, it's okay. We are allowed to do this now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think learning to have fun in that moment of chaos, because it's like the guilt's come up. It's like, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't be having fun because my husband, my partner isn't here to enjoy it with me. Therefore, I can't enjoy life. And it's funny, it's just where the mind takes you.
That's why we've got to surrender a bit more and trust that that laughter came up for a reason. And that's just sparkle and it's trying to get out. And it's saying that, you know, and like a physical wound, when we get a physical wound on our body, your body knows exactly how to heal it. And as it starts to heal it, we don't scratch it and try and open it again. We let the body heal it. And I think that that's the same often with emotional wounds. And what that laughter is that's your soul or your heart or your body trying to heal your emotional wound of grief. And so that's why we need to allow ourselves that lightness and that fun. But you allow yourself your sadness and then you allow yourself your joy. So you flow with it rather than overanalyze it. You know, am I supposed to be feeling joyful right now? You know, you are. If you felt it, you're supposed to. It's okay.
And I think that's true too, because it's like we read too much and there's so much information available on the net. And someone says, you should be over it in 3 months, 6 months, a year.
Right.
You should do this and you should do that and you should do something else. And quite often the person who wrote all the shoulds hasn't been through anything near the challenge that you've been through.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And there's no tick-off box, you know. And I remember going to my doctor too and saying, when have I done this? When do I know I've done it? And, you know, it doesn't come with a tick-off box. And, you know, we're 8 years on. No, so we're 8 years on since my husband passed away. So the missing is now, it's more of a missing, I say, than a grieving. So, you know, my son turns 18, so I miss what that could have been. But I allow myself to indulge in the thought of what that might have been like. And that's now a nice feeling of thinking about what that might have been like. And I still have a cry, of course I do, and I don't apologise for that. That's okay. You know, this is the other thing that happens sometimes. You know, when I do my shows and I tell our story and some people get quite emotional and they come up to me afterwards and they're quite emotional and sometimes they haven't even had a story but it's just brought up some emotion and they say, I'm so sorry for crying. And I say, don't you ever apologise for crying. We don't ever have to apologise for crying. And then they might say, my emotions got the better of me. And I say, we need more people letting the emotions get the better of them. We need more people doing
that. Exactly. Yeah, we live in such a world that, you know, it's not right to show your emotions and it shows you weak and it doesn't show your strengths and blah, blah, blah.
I know. And then we have the vulnerability movement. So everyone's got to be now more vulnerable. And so now we're confused about whether being vulnerable is negative or I'm trying to be positive. So sometimes you just got to go back into relaxing back into yourself and just trusting your feelings. Yes.
Yeah. So like you're saying, just go back and surrender and trust.
Yeah.
So if there's any listeners out there this morning who, or it might be evening for you in the States, who are going through challenges at this moment, either similar to Julie's or another type of challenge, you know, there's so much common sense coming out of Jules. There's so much of a gem in there to just allow yourself to be you. Julie, thank you so much for your sharing. It's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Di. Pleasure.
Now, if we could go on and talk about the pivotal points in your life that led you forward, could you pinpoint those and perhaps put a marker on them?
Well, I think that there was a moment in my hairdressing career when I broke up with my boyfriend. That was a pivotal moment. It was one of those moments that I think many young girls have to go through. And you talk about confidence and getting to know yourself. And he was a good man. He was a good person. And I was young and helpful and supportive of me at that time in my life, because I left home at such an early age. I was out of home at 16. And so he provided me with support through that time. But there was a time I knew I had to move on. And but because he was a good man, it felt really hard to break up with him. Because I didn't think he deserved that, and I didn't want to hurt him. And this is where I think a lot of young people are staying with that rather than having the confidence to still do it and move forward, because they know it's the right thing for them. And I remember going home to my mum and saying to her, I just wish he would do something terrible so that I had a good reason to break up. You know, it's almost like that. But you have to have the courage to be true to yourself. And sometimes that does involve hurting somebody else, and that's not nice. But you have to still do that. And so we did, because I could see that the path that we were going down wasn't where I was meant to be, and it wasn't what was going to make me happy, and I would not be able to follow my dreams. And when you're 20, 21, you need to make sure you grab a hold of your life and not let it be somebody else's story.
That was a pretty mature thing to do for that period in your life.
Well, I guess considering I've been out of home since I was 16, maybe I grew up really quick, I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And that was obviously a pivotal point too, just even being out of home so young, you know. So, that was that too. So that to me was, it was a defining moment in my life where I'd really felt like I grabbed a hold of my life and took ownership of it and had a vision of what I wanted my life to really look like.
Right, yeah. Oh, I can get that, and I'm sure you've got some stories with hairdressing. Would you credit hairdressing with developing your confidence?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I always say this, that we should give our work the respect it deserves, and I mean any work. There are no menial jobs. There are only menial attitudes, and I didn't make that up. I don't know who said that, but you know, we've got to understand that. So I don't want to think that I didn't say it, but we've just got to. I get really, and one of the with the work that I do from the stage is that I try to get people to embrace their jobs, whatever it is, and know that that is your stage to make a difference from. So if you are a mechanic, if you work as a shop assistant, if you work in the supermarket, don't play small on that. Don't play small, because you hold back on that, you hold back on your life, because that your job is develops you, your confidence. And that's why people who are out of work for a long time often have to go back to self-esteem building classes, confidence building classes.
That's right.
Because
their
self-esteem erodes, because we haven't had a platform to, we're here to do things, you know, and whatever that is, to achieve things. And that does, that's what keeps nurturing that confidence and that self-esteem. You just can't, you know, buy it. It's an emotional muscle that needs a workout. And your work is your place to work it out. That's right. So absolutely, my hairdressing took this little shy 16-year-old girl that was so nervous on her first day, walked in, you know, you sort of walk in, your eyes are downcast, but, you know, where can I put my bag? Because if I just find a place to put my bag, I'll feel better. And, you know, and you can hardly talk to anybody and you're too scared to chat. And next thing you know, you're running a group of salons and, you know, travelling away to conferences, and you just have a moment where you go, when did this happen? How did I get to be doing this? How did this little girl from Mullet Creek get to be doing this? And, I mean, I have those moments every time I walk up on stage and I look at all these people in the audience and I feel emotional talking about it, and I think, well, they pay me to come and listen, and they want to come and spend their time and listen to me? Like, how did that happen? And that happened because of making sure that you use every stage you've got. In hairdressing, I had one client at a time. I had one audience member at a time. And that's how I saw it. And for that person, I put on a show. I gave them my best. And then suddenly you're the manager of a salon. So suddenly I had a bigger audience. I had six members in my team. And so the same thing. I presented to them, empowered them, inspired them to give their best. And suddenly you're area manager. Your audience grows. So your work, we should give our work the respect it deserves. Absolutely.
That's great advice. So, okay, so if your pivotal points, hairdressing was your first one, where did you go after that?
Well, that was then I went overseas to find myself. That was a pivotal point, because at some point we always go overseas to find ourselves. What I discovered was when I got there is that wherever you go, there you are. You look in the mirror and it's you again. You're just in another country, that's all.
That's right.
So I really learned the lessons of not having to travel. And look, my overseas experience was so wonderful. I backpacked and it was so wonderful. And I really did have a journey within. But that really brought me back home. And when I say brought me back home, it brought me back home physically, but it brought me back home to me, because the realization was there that you don't have to travel far and wide. You have to travel deep within, because that's where your success lies. That's where your peace lies, your joy lies, your happiness. It's not in what's over there. It's what's in here. And so I continued learning that when I got home, because I was at one job as a sales rep for a hairdressing company, and then I'd look across at another job and think that that looked better. But you know what I discovered, don't you, of course, when I got to the new job, the job I just left started looking better again. And so I learned a really big lesson is that the grass always looks greener on the other side.
The other side, that's the grass. Right. Yes, I know. And you know, talking about problems, I've just finished reading the book Zero Limits. And in it, the guy says, do you notice that every time there's a problem, you've got a problem, you're there?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's about taking responsibility, taking 100% responsibility for yourself. Yeah. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll have to come back and talk to you another day on responsibility, because that's my big focus for this year, is inspiring personal responsibility, because gee whiz, a lot would change when we did that.
Oh,
we just
absolutely.
Did what we said we were going to do,
Yeah, big time. So after you come back from overseas, where did that take you?
Well, that's when I actually then met my husband and I got married, and I was working for a hairdressing company in Melbourne. We met in Townsville, moved to Melbourne, working for a hairdressing company. I fell pregnant with my first son, and then I resigned. And when Jack was 6 months old, I read a book called Speak and Grow Rich. So this was my other major turning point. I had a dream for starting this business, and my husband supported me, so I bought a whiteboard, rang some people and started a business, and that was 20 years ago. And it has gone for 20 years just purely on word of mouth, and I'm very grateful. So that was the beginning of this journey.
Well, that speaks for itself, Julie, doesn't it? That really speaks for itself.
Oh, well, I'm just so grateful, and that's where I didn't over, you know, die. I think we suffer from a bit of analysis paralysis or excusitis or an overanalysis with all this information we have. You know, I just read a book. I bought a whiteboard. I had no professional business cards. You know, back then, of course, there were no websites. I just printed off some business cards, because the first thing I had to do was make sure people wanted to buy what I had. And I think that's a mistake a lot of businesses make these days. They spend the money on all the marketing and all the beautiful shop fronts, and whether that be the websites or whatever else, but you haven't yet seen whether people want you to want to buy from you. And you can spend all the money on marketing you like, but if you do not inspire your customers to the point that when they leave your place of business that they want to tell everybody else about it, then we're not doing it well enough.
Yep.
You know, there's no point spending marketing on getting people to, there's no point spending marketing on getting people to your front door if the interaction they have when they're with you is not what inspires them to go and tell everybody else about you. Because how easy is that? Just to do what you do and have your customers be the ones that go and tell everybody else.
Who do marketing
about
for you.
Yes.
Yep. Brilliant. You know,
work hard if we can work smart.
Yes. So, okay. So that's your, well, I think that's probably bled that question for a bit now. And for our listeners, Julie is always dressed in sparkles. You know, she really is the sparkle girl, and she loves it. And I'm a bit of a bling girl myself, so I relate to it. So how do you – I saw something you wrote the other day, and it was about how to create your sparkle and not be afraid to use it. Would you like to expand on that for us?
Sure. So, I mean, we all have sparkle. We're born with it, I truly believe. And it's shiny and bright in us when we arrive into this world. We've got this sparkle and it's all shiny and bright. And then from about two, we get sort of hypnotised with some marketing messages that erode our sparkle, telling us we're not enough unless. And so for me, it's about really, it's a loving yourself, because when you love yourself enough, your sparkle would shine ever so brightly. So really it's about, for me, nurturing that love of yourself, about looking into who you are and seeing who you are, and about focusing on all the gifts that you
you give to everybody else, because that's what your sparkle is, and that's what we'd be remembered for. You know, we don't go to a funeral where they talk about the nice leather jacket that the person had. They talk about who you were, and that's your sparkle.
Yeah.
You know, that's your energy. That's what you leave and sprinkle into a room when you walk in it. It is your personality. It is your resilience. It is your confidence. It is your joy, your passion. That's what your sparkle is. And so it's all up to all of us to keep it shiny and bright. And we can only do that by nurturing and loving ourselves enough and you know, and having gratitude and all of those things that bring about a lovely feeling of enjoying being who we are. And that's what your sparkle is. I mean, it's as simple as that, and yet it erodes and we let people steal it so readily, and we need to protect it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I'll just
get
you to...
The other reason... Sorry.
Yes, carry on.
I was just going to say, and the other reason people perhaps shy away from sparkle, and it ties very much in what you talk about with confidence, because when I wear my sequins and I walk into a room, and this is one of the reasons I wear them too, I can walk into a room and everyone's dressed very corporate and I wander in and bounce in my sequins. And I see people looking at me and I know they're whispering, oh, look at her. Who does she think she is? What is she going to tell us wearing a dress like that? Oh, I wonder what she does. What has she left over from last night? And I say this as soon as I get on stage. And I say that and people will sit there and they go, oh, my God, that was me. Oh, I said that. But, you know, and I say to them that when you wear your courage and your confidence, you will have to be brave. Because the braver you are, the braver you'll need to be. Because when you walk into a room with your sparkle shining so brightly, some people will look at you and go, well, who do you think you are? And then sometimes we shy away and we let our sparkle dull. So that's where you're going to have the confidence. Because the more, you know, emotionally, the more exposed you are, so the more exposure you get, and if you want to be successful, you're going to get exposure. The more exposure you get, the more exposed you'll be emotionally. And so that's why
you
need that confidence that you talk about and that courage, and that's your sparkle.
Beautifully, beautifully said. Now, we'll just hold that thought on sparkle and we'll be back in a minute. So a reminder to anyone listening, if you wish to call in and pose a question for our guest today, in America, you may call 646-716-7979. If you're outside of North America, call in on http://tobtr.com/977-3183 and follow the link to the chat for your question or post on Facebook. As a reminder, if someone's just joined in, today we're speaking with Julie Cross. Julie is a passionate speaker and an inspirational entertainer. It's been really fascinating to discuss with Julie her views about life, empowerment, and using your sparkle. From my perspective, it's been awesome to hear snippets of Julie's journey. We've been able to feel her passion, her message, how she takes her own stage and lives her life. You know, we've covered her pivotal points of from hairdressing, from traveling overseas through her marriage to the loss of her husband to dealing with life and just getting up and getting into it. Julie, welcome back.
Thanks, Di.
Woohoo! Now
I'm here.
Good-o. I'm so glad. Now, could you share with the audience how you know, I heard you say before, you know, that we're all enough. So how do you know for sure that you're enough?
Well, one of the analogies I use and the stories I tell in my shows is that when you look at a newborn baby, when any of us look at a newborn baby, aren't we in awe? We look at that newborn baby and we just see perfection. We see miracles. We see unlimited potential. We look at those fingers and toes like we've never seen fingers and toes. We're like, oh, my God, they're so beautiful. We're absolutely amazed. And I say to my audience members, everybody looked at you like that. Everybody looked at you in awe. They saw unlimited potential. They saw miracles, perfection. You don't look at a newborn baby and go, oh, look at you, you're a mess. With those thighs today, you're in big trouble. I mean, nobody does that. We just love them. Everybody looked at us like that, and we looked at each other like that. So we need to remember what we already knew. And this is sometimes I think we don't need to learn anything new. We just need to remember what we already knew. So I inspire them to own that again, to get out a baby photo and think about how they would talk to that cute little baby. what would you say to them? What do you see when you look at that cute baby?
And so why would we are still that same miracle. We just grew up is all.
Yeah.
We just got bigger. We're still that same miracle. And we have to start owning that again. And that is a process to do that. And it is a big job because you'll have to empower up through all the marketing messages that tell you differently. You'll have to empower up through all those messages that tell you you're not good enough unless you look like the airbrush model in the magazine. You know, I get unrealistic images. Now, we will not stop that marketing machine any day soon, but we can grow through it. And I think that that's what everybody forgot. We can become more disciplined mentally to not take on that. Now, I'm still challenged on this every day. Don't think I've got a list together. I'm still challenged on it. I'll still have a moment where I look in the mirror and start that game in my head, and then I catch it and say, stop it, stop it, stop it. And I remember how I would have looked in the mirror when I was two. I would have been loving myself up. You don't see a two-year-old look in the mirror and go, well, look at this. I've got cellulite already, mum, and I'm two. What are you doing to me? No more milk tomorrow. What are the kids at kindy going to say? This is ridiculous. You know, kids don't do that. We never used to do that. We loved ourselves. And that's when we were fearless. We were courageous. Yeah. We heard music. We danced. That's when we asked for what we want from this world with the absolute expectation that it would be ours. You know, so we subliminally, subconsciously bought into those marketing messages of telling us that we're not good enough unless. So it just takes some discipline, mental and emotional discipline, to go back to that mirror, to stop looking at yourself, because marketing teaches you to look at your body and make a judgment and start looking into who you are. Now, the other thing, Di, with nurturing your sparkle, that I've just got to make sure I make this point, is that when I loved myself enough, I would look after my body. So when I loved, and I think that this is the core foundation for so many issues that we have in our modern societies, because when I loved myself enough, I would not starve my body because I loved myself enough. I would look after it. So when I loved myself enough, I would do loving things for my body. And so sometimes you've got to do what you know is right and then let the energy catch up with you. So one of the greatest things you could do for yourself and your sparkle is to take it for a walk in the morning. Take it out exercising. Just a walk in the morning, because what that does to you emotionally, and we forget the physical emotional connection, what that does to you emotionally is unbelievable. If you don't go for that walk and you said you're going to go for the walk and you don't go, what's the conversation everyone starts having with themselves? Oh, you said you were going to do it and you didn't do it. I knew it. Here we go again. You put on your pants, they think they're too tight, and you have a conversation with yourself that's very negative and unloving. However, you do go for the walk, I know what's happening now. You feel so fantastic. You look in the mirror, you put your pants on and you think, oh, they fit better already. Well, they don't. You've only been once, but it feels like they do. And your energy that day is really high and you're sparkling and you project that to every conversation and every interaction because it was a loving thing to do for yourself. Are you there, Di? Hello.
I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want.